just sort of chat. Coming home from church
one Sunday, this past Sunday, we have a lot of conversations. Brother Nick shared just as we were pulling into the parking lot that he remembers many times as when Pastor Asquith would pick him up 2 and 3 times a week, the great conversations that they would have and learn together. And then he referred to conversations that that we have as we drive back and forth. And one of the conversation was about the church, meals, and cooks. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. The church, meals, and cooks. In just about every area of life, we all have expectations. Things or outcomes that we anticipate from certain actions or experiences. A person goes to a sports event, whether it be a local high school one, or they go to some, NBA or FBA or FBI or any kind of them sporting events, okay? They go to them and they expect certain things. First of all, they expect their team to win. They expect to get excited. They expect to have a good time. They expect to pay a lot of money for the ticket. They expect to wait in line to get in. Typically, supper is the big meal of the day. 5 or 6 days of the week, supper time's the big meal. Often what I refer to as a meat, potato, and vegetable kind of meal. Lunch is a lesser thing in the amount and the menu. I often refer to lunch as a soup and sandwich kind of eating. Sunday is usually or frequently a bigger meal, a nicer menu than that of the weekdays. Now, when it comes to Thanksgiving, Christmas, or Easter, and other holidays or special family events, well, they are feast days. The kind of food, the amount of food, the complete menu is over the top. Oh, a side note, by the way, you need not feel guilty about a feast day and having a feast, big kind of meal. Some Christians do feel guilty because of countries that are without food, and they feel guilty sitting down to even a big Sunday dinner, knowing that there are Christians even in the world that just do not have. Listen, I want to go read the Old Testament. You say, well, I have. Okay. Then this time, pay attention for when the Bible talks about the feasts. Okay? Because the Old Testament records feast days and records events of feasting. Amen. Listen, because you have it, isn't going to make it any better for those who don't have it. You say, well, maybe if I didn't eat it, well, maybe what? If you don't eat such a big Thanksgiving dinner, what? You'll go without and they go without and you haven't expressed thanks to your God who's given it to you. Now, the one alternative to that would be if you don't have any kind of big, nice, fancy meals, you eat super meagerly, maybe less than a soup and sandwich kind of thing consistently, so you can send the money through an agency that knows it's going to get where it goes, okay? And you can help people in another country to eat. I have met some people who feel that way, and they've done that. But most, they just feel guilty about having so much, but they don't want to give it up, okay? And I'm here to tell you, you don't have to give it up. So what's the point about meals and expectations? You know, like I said, Nick was riding with us and we got to talking about this very subject. And I said, you know, maybe I ought to share that sometime at church. And I said, well, if I get home and remember it, well, when I got home, he sent me a text that said, don't forget meals and church. And so I right away sat down and jotted some notes down. Now, not every time we sit down to eat is it a Thanksgiving meal. Not even a big Sunday dinner. Like I said, it's lunch. It's just a soup and sandwich, or sometimes maybe just one or the other. But listen to me. That soup and that sandwich gives you nourishment. Amen. So where does the church come into this picture? What's the church got to do with this? Even when it comes to church, we have expectations. Continuing to use the illustration of meals, not every service is going to be like a youth week service. Not every service is going to be like a service of the fall meetings. Typically, things, whatever things means, things are more upbeat on a Sunday than on, say, a Wednesday night like this. The Wednesday prayer service, I'm going to compare that to lunch, soup and sandwich. The Sunday services, I'm going to compare to the weekday supper meal. Now, the exceptional Sunday service, whether we have a guest in or whether it's our pastor, it's just exceptional because of the way the Spirit of God moves in the service and uses it. And so the exceptional Sunday service could be compared to a big Sunday dinner. Youth Week and fall meetings or some other kind of special service is like a Thanksgiving or Easter meal. Expectations come into this picture, and we bring them into focus when we expect, listen now, when we expect every service to be a big menued meal. When a person comes into church and they expect to have a mountaintop experience every time. No, sometimes it's just a soup and sandwich. But you need to remember, you get nourishment from a soup and sandwich. When we eat, okay, or where we eat, what the service is, and when the service is scheduled, the focus is to be that of Christ. I know how it is. I'm human. I'm an individual. And so we have a week of special services. Fall meetings are coming. Brother McVeigh's coming. Oh, that's good. Yeah, you know, we're going to really get hear from God. You hear from God more when Brother McVeigh's here than you hear from God when Brother Asquith is here? You know, if we really believe that the focus is the message, not the messenger, okay? You see what I'm saying? We have expectations.
Yes, sir.
Now, every service can help us grow if we let God speak to us, if we respond to God when he does convict us. He said, well, now wait a minute, Pastor. You said church, meals, and cooks. We know where the cooks come in the meals. Where do the cooks come in the church? Not downstairs. I'm not talking about the servants. God bless them. But through the years, I've known many evangelists. But admittedly, there were some I liked to hear better than others. Why? some of the natural reasons is the subjects that they picked. They resonated with me. Didn't always resonate. I remember one time a man, he's now in heaven, man came up to me and he said, are we having so-and-so for special meetings? And I could tell he wasn't saying it in a positive way. And I said, yeah, that's who we're having. Oh, okay. You know, I don't care for him. Now, he never told me why he didn't care for him. But whatever it was, something didn't resonate with him like it resonated with me, okay? Because I was looking forward to having that man. So there's nothing wrong with you having some preachers that you can just connect with,
amen.
Okay? That just the way they preach, what they say, what the subjects are that they speak about. Like during youth week, we have the moderator, okay? And he's the one we see and hear from most. But throughout the week, there's various men that preach. And, you know, as I think about that week of meetings, I'm always looking forward. Boy, I hope, I'm not going to tell you. I hope he'll preach. Okay, why? Because just his style, his way of going about it, the way he cooks the meal, you see, the way he puts it together, it just goes well for me. May not for somebody else. I don't think there's anything wrong with you having someone that you feel real good about hearing and that you can relate to. And I don't think we have to feel guilty when there's somebody else that we don't connect with, as long as we don't enter into sin and begin to judge them and complain in our mind and heart. Oh, he's got to preach again. You know, no. That we've just gone over a line that we shouldn't when that happens. And you can sit there and look innocent if you want, but you either have the most pristine old nature or you ought to go play poker because you're holding the straight face on me now. But they all preach the Holy Word. Again, staying with Youth Week as an example. They all come and they preach the Word. And I believe every one of them wants for God to use what they're saying in people's lives. I'm most accustomed to Pat's cooking, the seasonings she uses, the flavor that's there, even to what she prepares. That's our pastor, okay? In the sense that we are most accustomed to hearing him and how he goes about preaching and presenting. But Brother Dale, Neil Ford, or myself, we prepare messages from the same word. Mm-hmm. Hmm? And the most important thing is the message, not the messenger. Even though the things that I just previously said about compatibility and style and the way of hearing things, just like I hear people talking with them and they'll say, hey, do you listen to Brother So-and-so? And then they'll name somebody that's on the radio. And I say, yeah, I listen to him. Oh, man, I really like him. Whenever I'm in the car, I'll turn the radio on and I like to catch him. And I'm thinking to myself, okay. But now, if I'm initiating the subject, okay, then I'll say, have you ever heard so-and-so? Okay, and then I'll be enthused because now I'm talking about the one that I'm initiating. You see, different cooks prepare meals in different ways. We must be careful that we don't get out of balance. I find myself more and more talking about balance in things. If it's a hobby horse, okay, I'm going to ride it for a while because this is what I found in my own life when I get out of balance. It's a true thing. It's a needed thing. But boy, when I get to overemphasizing that, and when I overemphasize that, I'm not able to be emphasizing something else that's needed. And that's why I'm out of balance. I'm favoring one thing rather than another. You can do this in your house, okay? And you know, there's things about your house and the maintenance of the house, and you can spend a whole lot of time in just certain areas of the house, but to the neglect then of other areas in the house, okay? Maybe all rooms need a little touching up, okay? Rather than just certain ones. And the meals all give some level of nourishment. All the services give some level of nourishment to us. The menu, it's all the Word of God. If it's a youth week, it's going to be like a Thanksgiving dinner, okay? How much we hear and the subjects that we hear. And the place, well, I like 211 North 19th Street. That's my favorite place. But I like to eat at Perkins Restaurant, okay? And then but there's times there's times that I like to go to KFC, you know, and have some chicken and little plastic, you know, cup dishes that you can't hardly get the lid off of, you know. I like to get them their mashed potatoes, and they always have more gravy than I like. Listen, let me just write on that. Those little cup things that have mashed potatoes in, and then you open it up and there's gravy everywhere. That's more gravy than I need. When you come to church, you're going to hear some things you don't need. At least you think you don't need them. God may think different. Or you might think, well, that's nice to hear that, but we heard more of that than what we need. More gravy than we need. Okay? You see how that works in life? If everything could be exactly like we'd want it, well, we'd never achieve it. Because the next day we'd want something different. And so the meals, the menu, the place, the cooks, we all have our preferences, but the key is what they prepare for us. It's the message, not the messenger. And when you approach a service with that thought in mind, with that attitude, and with that prayer, I've gone to meetings already, and I've prayed, now, Lord, help me get out of this something, okay? Maybe the speaker was one of my favorites, and so I'd have to pray, now, Lord, help me to get what you have for me out of this. Help me not to think just about who's saying it or how he's saying it. You know, I heard one fella complain one time, that one guy, I don't remember who that one guy was, but he said all he does is walk around the platform. Why doesn't he stand still and preach? That was something he didn't care for. And it was easy for him to miss the messenger, to miss the message, because how the messenger walked all over the platform. Then I remember the first time we had somebody at Grace Bible, and they actually, can you believe this? They stepped off the platform and they walked down the aisle and just, you know, walked back and forth and preached, you know. That was the first time that somebody had done it. So let me tell you, that got attention. Some liked it, some didn't. But the important thing is what he said. While he used a method, a manner that was different than what we were accustomed to or what that individual who complained to me cared for. You say, well, this all sounds nice, and it's a recap of your conversation with Nick in the car, but Aren't we missing something? Nope. Hebrews chapter 10. See, this is what you thought might be missing. Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to spend the last however many minutes looking up some scriptures. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Very familiar. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I wonder if there was anybody in the group that preferred to hear Peter talk about the Lord rather than Paul. Could that be? Oh no, they were in Bible times. They all had halos. No, they didn't. Verse 24 comes before it. Unique, isn't it? And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Consideration for each other. Now, there's many, an application you can give to that. Many ways you could use that. But let's keep it in the setting of hearing certain preachers and liking the way they preach or what they preach, the manner of their preaching. And we need to really consider one another. Why should I sit in a service . There are some very common phrases that would fit here but aren't appropriate. Why should I sit in a service with a bad attitude and have something in my craw, okay? A burr under my saddle. Because whose preaching isn't the favorite? Or what, maybe their subject, maybe he's okay, but the subject, I don't like the subject, okay? Now, why should I sit in a service and have that kind of attitude? Listen, that's the kind of thing that puts a damper on a service. And the Holy Spirit doesn't have freedom. Doesn't have freedom. He tells us here, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Now, you may have heard me say this before, that word provoke. I use the word prod, okay? My daddy used to use the word provoke. And when I do something I shouldn't do, he'd say, "You provoke me, boy." He wasn't prodding me, okay? It was not said in a loving manner. But then again, the thing I did probably wasn't done in a loving manner either. But we need to consider one another. And so, all right, this fella isn't my favorite preacher. And pray about it. And ask God to help you to have the kind of attitude that you ought to have to be able to sit in the service so you're not a hindrance to the moving of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, I'm saying this about preachers and who's, you know, feeding us and that sort of thing. But, hey, listen, if you've got something in your life, if you've got something going on that you're not dealing with, and I'm telling you, you're a hindrance to a service. The Holy Spirit does not have freedom in the service. And you're like a wet blanket on this. Well, all right. See, now I already said something there you probably didn't like. And if I was okay with you, now I just felt, well, here it is on a Wednesday night. I'm just a soup and sandwich kind of preacher now. As a matter of fact, I might have fallen down into just a bag of potato chips preacher, okay? Because I've said something, but, we can listen to the evangelist who tells us he was in a church And they didn't have revival, and they couldn't have revival because brother so-and-so that sat on this side of the church had not talked with brother so-and-so who sat on this side of the church. The two men were in the same church, but they had not talked for 15 years. And they held a grudge on each other for 15 years. And God couldn't send revival because of that. Now we sit there and say, oh, isn't that a shame? Oh, man, that's bad. Let's make sure.
Well,
it's not here.
That's right. There's a little bit here.
Now, Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. Acts 2 and verse 42, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. The key word I'm picking this verse for is continued. They continued in it. You know, here this is a Wednesday night crowd. We're a continuing crowd. Those of you that are here tonight, you would understand this verse. They continued. You're continuing, okay? And that was an important thing when it comes to this matter of meals. Okay, and the church and the cooks. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And I'm going to verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Key words I want to emphasize is the first one, let. We need to let the word of God dwell in us. You see, we can prevent it from doing that. We have to, we give it permission to dwell in us. Just hearing it with the ear is not what it's talking about. Okay? There's a Bible verse that says, having ears to hear, they hear not.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay? Yes, now, here he's saying, let the word of Christ dwell in you. In other words, what penetrates the eardrum, we need to allow that.
That's right.
To, yes, what does it say here in verse 16? Dwell in you. If something dwells, it lives there. You dwell in your house. If I come and I'm there for an hour or two, I'm just visiting. But you dwell there. And we're to not just hear something and like it because we like the preacher, okay? Or not like it because we don't like the preacher, but we're to let it dwell in us. It should live there. John chapter 15 uses the word abide, okay? If my word abides in you, okay, it's got to live there. And then let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. 1 Timothy 4, 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Now, the key word here is give attendance. You know, we take attendance at a meeting, okay? But here we're to give attendance. We're to give, and I'm not sure this word is a good synonym for it, but it covers what I want to emphasize from it, and that is give attention to reading. Give attendance to it, okay? Make sure that we're focusing on it. And then let's go to Luke 4, Luke chapter 4. And in Luke chapter 4, we're going to look at verse 16, the Gospel of Luke, that is, chapter 4 and verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up for to read, as was his custom. Jesus' custom was to go to church. And I know that's your custom. You're here tonight. And I know you're here on Sundays. And that's a good thing. Because if we're going to be able to get the nourishment that God has, whether it be from a simple soup and sandwich meal, or whether it be from a November 8th harvest dinner, okay, and that would be like the week of fall meetings we just finished, okay, regardless of the menu, regardless of the cook, okay, the important thing is the nourishment that we get from it. And his custom was to go into the synagogue, just as ours is to come here to church. I'm going to conclude with, not quoting, but reading two psalms. Psalm 150, the first part of the first verse says, "Praise you, the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary." That's where we are. And then Psalm 122, verse 1, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." That's where God meets with us. He can meet with us elsewhere. He desires to meet with us elsewhere. But he meets with us in his sanctuary. Father in heaven, our desire is indeed that every time we come into this building, every time, dear Father, that we take the heart of scriptures.